next to that reminder, and he'd love to saw away your security and trust that even the background noise can remind you of all that God has in store for us. Let me make a couple comments about that before we move on in our service. I've had a number of people express to me this week concern about whether or not it was secure for us to meet here. And you need to know that we have done what we can to take human precautions, and we have beefed up national security around the place. We also have another level of plainclothes security around the area that is quite good, quite secure. It's not very visible to the eye. But in addition to that, we have a whole bunch of unseen security all around here called angelic hosts that encamp around about those who fear the Lord. So we're in good hands this morning, although a number of people have expressed concern in that regard. Other people have wondered about the whole issue of suffering and how can good people, innocent people, suffer. How can godly people suffer sometimes? If you have concerns about that and would like to study that from Scripture, we've prepared a Bible study on the theme of suffering, and that's in the church office. You can just go up to the window and ask our secretary, Marcel, and she'll hand you a sheet of that. It would be a good Bible study for you, so please feel free to pick that up. With that as a backdrop, go with me now to the Scriptures, and as we study something that I think will be very, very appropriate for us this morning. I'm wondering if there's anybody here who, as a result of the events of the last week and a half, has anybody had occasion to wrestle with the temptation to fear? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. Anybody wonder if it was safe to come to church today? Anybody? Okay, probably those who are wondering haven't come. I honestly know of people who have stayed away because of the unsettling circumstances and the threats made against Westerners. Now, if the local situation has in any way rattled you, or if you have ever struggled with fear in any way, in any time in your life, or if you've ever felt like throwing in the towel and giving up over any reason, then today you are in for a boost for your sagging soul. God's Word is going to charge you at the deepest level possible. You interested in that? Okay, well, let's ask the Lord to do just that. Lord, we ask that as we look into your Word this morning, that you will, by your Spirit, plant these truths so deep that they will literally produce a harvest of righteousness and will lay a foundation that nothing can shake. Thank you for your protection of our lives. Thank you that you care for us and love for us. And we ask that as we interact with you in your Word now, that you really will minister as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to look at two different names of God that are combined in the Scripture to form one title. Three times in the book of Revelation, Jesus describes himself as the Alpha and the Omega. Now for those who may be linguistically challenged, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. That would be like saying in English, Jesus saying, I am the A and the... No, the Z. Okay, the A and the Z. What do they say in Australia? Zed, there you go. I am the A and the Z, or the Zed. I am the, well, read about it. In Revelation 22:13, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and then he explains it, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In Revelation 1:8, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, in Isaiah 48 in the Old Testament, Isaiah 48 verses 12 and 13, God declared, I am He. I am the first and I am the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Psalm 90 verse 2, God says, before the mountains were born, or actually, David was speaking, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, if you understand those words in the Hebrew, it basically means he's saying, from the vanishing point to the vanishing point, you are God. No matter how far I go in that direction in time, and no matter how far I go in that time, you are still there. unchanged, eternal, the same Almighty God. Now I realized this morning that this concept of the infinite will stretch our finite minds to the snapping point because we cannot fully comprehend it. Sometimes I've tried to imagine eternity forward, and I think I get a couple steps in that direction, you know, because I'm alive. At a point in time, I came into existence, and I know what it's like to be 5 years old. I know what it's like to be 10, 15, 20, 30, 40. I'll stop there. I have a sense of history, okay, and I get a feel that there's something more coming. And so I project in the future, and I imagine, okay, I can picture myself 50, 60, 70, die, go to heaven, live, eternity, 1,000 years, 2,000. You know, I can't fully comprehend it, but I have a sense. But you know what? No matter how hard I try, and I've tried, I try and look backwards in time, and it all goes fuzzy. I try and think back to my grandparents and to their grandparents and to the days of Abraham, the days of, you know, before that of Noah and Adam, and before human beings were on this earth and before this universe came. And I go back, and my mind snaps. I just can't comprehend backwards in time that in eternity way back there was still somebody in existence. But you know, that's where the Bible begins. In Genesis 1:1, the first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, whenever that was, and whatever that was, in the beginning, you know it, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where God starts this story with us, is in the beginning. But in that beginning, it says, that's where He was. He was there, starting the beginning as we comprehend it, as we know it. Now, if you and I could somehow crawl into a time machine this morning, if they ever built one, and if we could get into that time capsule and press backwards, and all of a sudden, zoom, be zipped back billions of years before Abraham, before Adam, before this world was created, before there was the particle of anything. And if you could zip back that far and open the capsule door, you'd be face to face with God. And if that frightened you, you could shut the door, hop in and press forward. And zoom, go ahead billions of years. And come ahead to today. And go ahead to tomorrow. And next year. And 1,000 years from now. And go to the farthest ends of the future. And open the door. And there would be God with a smile on His face and a twinkle in His eye saying, what took you so long? You see, time as we know it may be a problem for us, but it is no problem for the Eternal One. Just as there is no place where God is not, He is everywhere present, so there is no time where He is not. He is at the beginning of time, and at the end of time, and at all points of time, at the same time. Now I know that boggles our minds, but that's what the Scriptures declare Him to be. He is eternal. Time is a function within the parameters of God's being. Time is a created function, a created fashion. It is a period within the span of eternity. And even those who study time, Einstein and the people who push the theory of relativity, and those who, I don't know if you ever read Stephen Hawking's History of Time, those who are probing that realm of science realize that even time has to be a fashioned element. It is a created function. And outside the boundaries of time is God. God is there at the beginning, at the end, and all the way through time. And so He sees the beginning from the end. To God, everything in time is in the eternal now. He sees all points of time on the spectrum at the same time. Now I know, again, it's hard for us to comprehend because this knowledge is, quite frankly, too exhaustive. It's too wonderful for the mind. It collapses our categories. It alters our understanding. But let me tell you, anybody who catches a glimpse of the eternal God, the one who spans time, the one who is at the beginning, at the end, and all the way through at the same time, if you catch a glimpse of that, dear friends, it will do wonders for your heart. Wonders. As we examine this morning the various texts that deal with this eternal nature of Jesus, being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, when we look at that, you're going to see with me three things that spring forth that are jewels. Actually, they're not going to spring forth, they're going to crawl forth. I'm going to share something with you that hopefully will help you remember this. Have anybody ever had ants crawling on you? Anybody? Okay, you remember it, right? You remember the feeling? Okay, now imagine big ants. I mean big ants. And they're all over you. You're never going to forget this. Well, there are three ants that are going to crawl all over you this morning that you will never forget when you encounter Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. The first one, it's a category of ants, and they're called the Asher ants. And when you know Jesus as your Savior, when you encounter Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, you get Asher ants. You get assurance. Forgive me for playing with the English language, but you're going to remember it. One of the questions that when I discuss spiritual things with people that I often pose to them is this very question. If you died tonight, do you know for sure, 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Well, forget me talking to other people. Let me ask you this morning. If you died tonight, do you know absolutely sure that you would go to heaven? I'm not asking if you hope so. I'm not asking, would you like to? I'm saying, do you know absolutely case-closed, ironclad assurance? Do you have that in your life? Dear friends, if you do not have that assurance in your life this morning, then you need to meet Jesus, the Alpha and Omega. Because when you meet Him, He provides that Asher ants to crawl all over you. He provides it in your heart, on you, in your mind, all through you. Assurance is a gift He gives to His children who have come to trust Him. Listen to these words. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 8. And I heard a loud voice. This morning we're hearing other loud noises. But here he said, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now is the dwelling of God with man, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down. These words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what happens after this life. And if you want to know, you got to know where to go to get the information. You know, recently a number of our refugee congregation have been able to immigrate to Canada. And a number of them, before they left, came and asked me questions about Canada, knowing I was Canadian. A number of them were going to cities either where I lived or where I knew something about. And it was kind of fun to be able to sit down and say, when you get there, look up this person, go to that place, or you know, here's what's on this street. And I could assure them that that's what they would see when they would go there. That's what they would experience. And why could I give them that assurance? Because I've been there. I know it. Well, dear friends, if you want assurance of eternal life, don't go to somebody temporal. If you want assurance of absolute eternity, don't go to some guru down the road who says, I think it might be like this. If you want assurance, don't go to somebody who says, well, yeah, in my former life I was a horse, and I might be this someday, and maybe you could be. I mean, let's get serious. If you want assurance of eternal life, you got to go to the one who's been there. You got to go to the one who is himself eternal. The one who is himself the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who holds all of time in his hand and said, I have eternity for you as a gift. That's who you go to when you want eternal life. That's who you go to when you want Asher ants crawling all over your life. Jesus, the one who gives the gift of eternal life to his children.
The one who is the beginning and the end has declared the beginning from the end and has invited you this morning to spend eternity with him. Those who choose to know him, to love him, and to serve him will enjoy him forever and ever and ever. That's his promise, dear friends.
In Revelation 12:12, the verse preceding his declaration to be the Alpha and Omega, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Eternal life flows out of the Eternal One. Now, you like that, Aunt? Okay, well, there's another one for you. Not only in Christ do you get assurance, you also get confidence. You'll love these ones. This literally springs out of this nature of Jesus. How many of you ever get discouraged? How many of you are lying? You ever wake up in the morning and you just don't feel like facing another day? Like sometimes the pressure just wells up and it gets to you. The problems come and you just say, I want out. Every one of us, sooner or later, even the ultimate optimists, have times when you just kind of feel like you want out. But dear friends, if you ever get discouraged, if you ever wrestle with fear, if the events of this last week and a half in Egypt have rattled your cage or caused you to be worried in any way, if you ever wonder how sinful people can seem to get away with murder, how evil prevails, how hatred multiplies while the righteous often have it rough, if you ever fear what's going to happen to you or to those you love, if you ever worry about any of this stuff, dear friends, then listen to this. In Isaiah 44, verses 6 to 7, this is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. In that context, he said, do not tremble and do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. Dear friends, in the midst of terror, as we are here in this land at this time, in the midst of troubling circumstances, we need not be afraid. Cautious? Yes. Worried and fearful? Absolutely not. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath you are the everlasting arms." Hear it again. The eternal God, the one who is there at the vanishing point and there at the vanishing point and at all points in between, he is your refuge, and underneath you, carrying you, are these eternal arms. What does that do to you? I tell you what it does to me. I'm crawling all over with confidence. Hallelujah. It's my possession in Jesus. I have confidence because of who Jesus is. In the face of terror, in the midst of this, I can stand secure, not because of what's out here and not because of who I am, but because of who He is. The eternal God has a plan in time, and that plan cannot and will not fail. The eternal God has a plan for your life, and nothing, hear me friends this morning, absolutely nothing will thwart, can ever thwart God's purpose for you if you are trusting Him. Do you hear that? Good morning. Do you hear that? Nothing can thwart God's purpose for your life if you are trusting Him. When you discover that, it is the everlasting God, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, that loves you dearly and completely, then His perfect love, the Bible says, will drive out fear. It drives it out. You cannot be both fearful and trusting the God who loves you at the same time. It's impossible. Either you are fearful or you're trusting God, but you can't be both. When you trust God, the everlasting Father who loves you, who has promised He has a plan, who is guaranteed to fulfill it, fear disintegrates. It's gone. When we are in the palm of God's eternal loving hand, the most dangerous place in the world becomes the safest place in the world. The converse is also true. You can be in the safest place in the world, but if you are outside of the will of God, you might be in the most dangerous place in the world. But when you're in God's will, dear friends, When you're seeking Him, when you're trusting Him, God has said He posts His angel's guard around your life.
Revelation 1, 17 and 18 says, "When I saw Him," John said, "when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though dead, and then He placed His right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.'" Why? "Because I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus said, "I've been there. I'm the first, I'm the last, and in time as you know it, I came, I lived, I died, I conquered the grave. I've been there. I'm the one who holds the keys to death. I'm the one who holds the keys to Hades, not some wild-eyed terrorist. I hold the keys. And I am the first and the last. Therefore, you, my child, you don't have to be afraid." Do you hear it this morning? Fear need never be a part of the life of God's child. Caution, yes. Worry and fear, no. Praise God. We have confidence in Him. Does this mean that nothing bad will ever happen to God's people? Does this mean that if I trust Jesus as my Alpha and Omega, my eternal God, that everything will go peaches and cream and wonderful and no trouble? No, not necessarily. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because He is with us. It means that even when we face trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, we are more than conquerors because nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And when that truth grips our hearts, dear friends, it makes endurance crawl all over us. It gives us the ability to keep on going. It gives us the ability to, regardless of what's out there, to press on with joy, with courage, with peace, with hope, not with fear. We endure no matter what comes our way. In Revelation 2, verses 8 to 11, the angel of the church in Smyrna, or pardon me, the scripture says, "To the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these words. These are the words of Him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." This past week, my son, we were having a family discussion about the events of what was going on. And Dad said, Tim said to me, "Dad," he said, "you know, you're kind of a pretty visible Christian leader." He said, "Do you think that your life might be in danger?" Pretty valid question for a son who might be concerned about his dad, don't you think? We had a really good chat. And I shared with him what most of us know, is that throughout history, there are many, many people, who have been martyred for Jesus Christ. I want you to know that's not my life goal. You know, some people think it's, if it happens, fine. I'm not pursuing it, believe me. But if, we talk pretty realistically in our family about possibilities and eventualities, and if it ever happened, I share this with Tim and I share it with you. Although I don't seek it, although I don't like it, I don't like the idea of it, I don't like my wife being left a widow and my kids being left fatherless. If it ever happened, dear friends, I want to go on record as declaring I have absolute confidence that the Almighty Eternal God would look after my wife and my kids. Because He's promised it. He has said He would be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widow. And just as He has cared for us to this day, He will care for us regardless of the situation. I believe we need to face the future with realism,
and caution, but that does not mean I need to yield to fear. As I look at the future with realism and caution, I also am able to draw from the Lord His full measure of peace. And here's another one, confidence. With confidence comes endurance. Endurance comes confidence. I'm able to pursue. I'm able to go on, and so are you. You see, if I stop to think of all the possibilities that could happen to me, if you and I start to figure of all the negative things that might come up in our lives, of course we're going to be overwhelmed with worry, with confusion, with being confounded, with trouble, with dismay. But dear friends, those things need not be anywhere near the child of God. We press on in light of the guaranteed victory that is already ours in Jesus Christ. And we have that in Jesus. Did He promise me absolutely no pain down here? No, He didn't. But He said that no matter what happened down here, He would be faithful to carry us on. Amen? And so that gives me endurance. It gives me perseverance. And I could give a whole bunch of other ants to you this morning. And those are the kind that I want to crawl all over me till I reach heaven. And if you're worried about your future this morning, if you're worried about the future of your loved ones, try this on for size. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, "From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness to their children's children." Amen? From the vanishing point to the vanishing point, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness to their children's children. Praise the Lord. Endurance. That's what comes when we draw on the eternal sources of God's strength. Confidence. That's what comes when His perfect love drives out our fear. And assurance. That's our possession from the One who was, who is, and who is to come. Who is the beginning and the end. The first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega. The eternal Almighty God. Jesus.